Glory to God. You may be seated. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is nothing like the presence of God. There is nothing that compares to the presence of God. I was listening to this song this morning on repeat. I think I listened to it probably like four times at least this morning. He's not looking, but at least probably four times this morning. And it's by Brandon Lake, and it's called Tear Off the Roof. And he talks about there being power in the presence. There's power in the blood. There is power in the name of Jesus. You see, when the presence of God shows up, there is so much power in that place. It can bring dead things to life. It can bring dead things to life. Our expectancy needs to be that when we are in the presence of God, that there is power in that place to make dead things alive. I once heard, I'm honestly not sure if I heard it from the Holy Ghost or someone else, so I'm going to say I heard it from someone else, who's heard it from the Holy Ghost, right? And, someone else meaning a minister, not just like the pizza shop guy, you know. And, they were talking about the difference of being present or being there and being present. I don't know about you, but I have teenagers. There are times when we are both in the room, but they are totally not present. Actually, I'm going to call out one of them. This morning, I said the same thing three times to one of my children. And I come and I get like this to her and I said, "Hey, did you hear me?" And she was like, I was like, "Okay, well, you are not present in this conversation." So there is something about when we come in to be with the Lord. We're not just showing up in a building. You see, that's why I admonished you to give yourself, see yourself there in His presence, because it requires you being present with Him. It requires you making a decision to say, "No, I choose to be present with you. I'm not just here to get a badge. I'm not just here to get a point. I'm here because I want to be with you. You have my attention. I'm giving myself to you." And so when we come in this place, just as an opportunity for us to grow as a body together, I love that we all get to come together. And I encourage you that there is something about us coming together in the corporate anointing. But there's something that as we come together in the corporate anointing, that we see ourselves with Him. That we don't ever lose sight of, you know, the moment like, "Lord, I am worshiping you. I am worshiping you in the throne room. I'm seeing you and what you've done for me." And just bring yourself to that place. Engage with Him. Be present with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I don't want to leave that place. I don't want to leave that place in the spirit. As we move into receiving our tithes and offerings, I want to move continually in that place of us being aware of Him. Us moving at a pace where we stay in the presence of God. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And if I'm being really honest with you right now, I'm opening this Bible, but I actually have a different version in my iPad, so I didn't mean to do it for show, but it kind of is. So I've given myself to you. We're going to read it in the Amplified Translation, the Amplified Classic Translation. So Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I'm going to give you a minute to turn there. And, she has it. She's fast. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag. For with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you." We must establish this truth first. The Word of God says, wasn't that awesome? "Give and gifts will be given to you." This is the Word. I read it in, I think, at least three translations, possibly four, but I'm certain of three translations this morning, and each one of them says, "Give and it will be given to you." In not the exact same words, but the exact same context. Give and it will be given to you. It is important that we establish our foundation not on what someone else said, but on what the Word of God says. Danny doesn't say, "Give and it will be given to you." The Word of God says, "Give and it will be given to you." And so we must establish the truth that this is what the Word says. So if a minister is ministering something other than what the Word says, we can know that our truth line needs to refer back to what the Word says. The Word is what indicates this. And so He does not need your money. He's not telling you to give because God needs your money. He needs your trust. Your trust is formed when you know His Word is truth. When you know He will do what He says He will do. When you know He will provide in the way He says He will provide. In that, trust is formed. And we move according to what He's saying. That was a side note He told me to mention, but what I really want to get to is this. The Lord ministered this to me about, the Lord does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Right? He wants to know if you are willing to give what you have in your hands. He doesn't see the amount as the quantifiable. He sees your willingness to give in obedience with what He says. We see this in the story of the widow with the two mites, right? He says in Luke 21, verse 4, He says, "For the rich only gave out of their surplus, but she sacrificed out of her poverty and gave to God all that she had to live on." You see, if you read in the Passion Translation, it talks about giving generously. Well, I just want to challenge you today. I'm not asking you that you give everything in your wallet today. I'm not asking you that you bleed your bank accounts today. I'm not asking any of that. But I challenge you to do this. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord today about this. Are you giving of the same sacrifice and faith that you did when there wasn't much in your hand? Are you giving with the same measure that you gave when you had little? I'm not talking about amount. I'm talking about, are you trusting the Lord in the same way you did then as when you come to a place of surplus? I know for me that when we initially started tithing, it took a lot of faith to tithe. Because I knew what the account looked like, and if I tithed, it was keeping us real short according to the books. Well, there comes a time in your life when you come to a place that it's no longer squeezing you to give your tithe. You see, everyone's heard the story. I'm going to tell it again. But Brother Copeland, when he went to the Oral Roberts partner meeting, you remember? He went to the Oral Roberts partner meeting and he said, I can be a partner with Oral Roberts for $10 a month. And when he came to tell this to Gloria, Miss Gloria said, where are we going to get $10 a month? That was a huge stretch for them. If he were to give you $10 now, I'm fairly certain it would not be as much of a stretch for him. I don't think Gloria would ask, where are we going to get that $10 to give to Larry? Because it's no longer something that's causing them to go within themselves and say, no, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, even if this feels outside of my comfort zone, even if this feels outside of the realm of what's easy to me, even if it feels like this is a stretch, I trust you. And so I'm just encouraging you today to seek the Lord about it. I want you to do what the Lord impresses on your heart. That's what the scripture tells us to do. It says, don't give out of emotion. Don't give because someone entices you to. I'm not asking you to give because I'm telling you these things. I'm asking you to seek the Lord. Are you giving from the same place you were giving when there was little? Are you still willing to stretch yourself even though it's become easier to give? And so I just admonish that to you today. And I want you to recall that as we bring ourselves to those places, we go to new levels. That is, as we go to that place, then that's when it is able to abundantly return to us. It's able to, you know, that we've been taught over and over again that if you give teaspoons, you get teaspoons. If you give dump trucks, you get dump trucks. But I believe every bit of that, but I sense that it's more than just an amount, a quantifiable amount. It's how much are you willing to do in your heart for God? How much are you willing to give Him from your heart? Amen. So Father, we thank you for your word. We believe your word. We believe your word that says as we give, it is given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken. I'm going to read it now. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag. We thank you, Lord, for the increase and the overflow of your people. Father, I pray over every tither and every giver today. Father, I thank you that the windows of heaven are open unto them, that the devourer is rebuked, and nations call Victory Church blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers, if you'll receive the offering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you would like to give by text message, you can text VCHL to 73256. Click the link and follow through. When we went to the tent meeting, they had me giving their spiel every night, and so I almost gave you all their code. I'm sure they would be really thrilled about that, but we're talking Victory. 73256. Amen. Glory to God. You can also give online by going to our website and going to the Give tab. And then you can also mail checks to us. That information is also on the Give tab on our website. Glory to God. As the announcement said, Pastor and Miss Deb are in Rome today. They arrived, best that I could tell, yesterday morning. I was able to finally see they were there while I was here at the bridal shower. So they should have arrived a little bit before that, but that's when I was able to tell for sure that they were in Rome and they were walking the streets. If my tracking abilities, oh yeah, I was tracking y'all, were on point, they might have been eating some pizza. So I've heard it's amazing there. Yeah. So I'm sure they had to get some lunch because they had a long delay. If you're on our part of our thermostats prayer team, you saw that there was a delay, and so they got there a little later than expected. But they are enjoying a wonderful time. They're going to see some beautiful churches that they've been telling us about and pray over some beautiful churches there. And then they're spending time with their son and daughter-in-law and grandson. So I just want to take a moment. We're going to pray over them. Father, we thank you for Pastor Ox and for Pastor Deb. Father, we thank you that your blessing is working on their lives right now. Father, we thank you that your favor goes before them and it follows after them. Father, we thank you that your favor surrounds them like a shield, that everywhere they go, everyone that they speak to, everyone that they touch, Father, that the anointing flows from them as you have called for their divine appointment. Father, we thank you that Rome now drips with the anointing of Victory Church as they move about those streets in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that that they are blessed, protected, and kept. Father, we thank you for a time of rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So I am believing in these upcoming days to see miracles, extreme miracles. I told the young adults on Wednesday night I had been seeking the Lord about the service for them, about these upcoming weeks, and I just sensed in my heart, and I heard through my spirit him say, faith for miracles. And so I have my faith set on, focused on miracles, that we are going to see miracles here in this house. We're going to see miracles by you laying on of hands out in the streets, by you speaking the word over people. I'm believing that we're going to see change take place. And so I just wanted to look up, okay, well, Lord, you said faith for miracles. What's a miracle, right? I mean, we could tell you off of our own knowledge, but what does it say? According to the dictionary, it says, an event or effect contrary to the established constitution and course of things, or a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event. That was Webster's 1828 dictionary. According to Google, it's a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. According to the, bless the Lord, Merriam-Webster dictionary, as recent as dated June 14th, 2024, an extraordinary event taken as a sign of the supernatural power of God. And then according to a definition by the NIV Bible, it says, declares that God is active in our world and that he can disrupt the activities of nature to reveal his character and accomplish his purposes. So, Father, I just want to submit this service to you right now, that at any point, in any way, if you want to disrupt the normal activities of this service, to move amongst your people, to touch your people, Father, we give ourselves totally and completely over to you. I invite you in as the leader of this service to move and flow like you want to move and flow. Father, I ask you that you would think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords your word, and that as it goes forth, it goes into the hearts of your people. I thank you, Lord, that they hear what you are wanting to say to them today. Father, you show them the answer that they came to hear today, that they know within themselves. Yes, Lord. They know within themselves what it is that you have for them today, in Jesus' name. I read this at the morning circle, but I'm just going to read it one more time because I want us all to be in faith for the same thing. Amen. So this is the Daily Decree by Brenda Kuhneman, just so y'all know what I'm reading from. And it is called Extraordinary Miracles. I decree that you receive and experience the unique miracles of God. Like the early church saw extraordinary miracles performed at the hands of Paul, may you encounter the miraculous works of God in your life. May you see unusual and uncommon miracles. May you be a witness of the signs and wonders that confirm God's word in action. We say that every demonic power that would prevent you from seeing, operating in, or encountering the miraculous is bound in Jesus' name. We speak that you interact with all the elements of his profound glory that are intended by the Holy Spirit. May unusual miracles affect your family, your personal life, your occupation, your finances, your health, and your home. We say that special miracles shall be regularly noted in your life and in Victory Church. No man-made tradition shall keep them from manifesting. We prophesy that special and unique miracles shall be your experience and your portion. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I heard Pastor Nancy say recently, faith is not looking for convenience, it's looking for results. I believe we need to move to a place where we are constantly looking for results. Stop looking for the easy way out. I feel like society has grown to teach more and more, just go with the path of least resistance. Just go with the easiest way that you can get through to the next page. But we are people of faith. We aren't looking for the easiest way. We're looking for results. I've said and I'll say again that faith is not for wimps. It's not. Faith requires you to be steadfast and hold your position. It requires you to get up and to get into the Word of God. It requires you to spend time with your Father. And, you know, after a time, that doesn't feel like work. After time, it doesn't feel difficult. But when you initially start, it's going to require you to say, no flesh, shut up and sit down and read the Word of God. I don't care what you have to say. Jerry Savelle said that he would walk on the side of his bathtub to read the Word of God so he wouldn't fall back asleep. There has to be a discipline in your life. Paul says in Corinthians, I believe, I discipline myself like an athlete. I put my body into check. You see, we have to, this is for someone because this is not in my notes, so whoever you are, bless you. We have to know that we are a three-part being. That when we were born again, our spirit was made perfect. But our mind still gets a little wonky sometimes. And our will then could get a little wonky sometimes. And our emotions, I don't know if they ever stop getting wonky, but it seems like you constantly need to put them in check. Well, at least for a woman. Maybe that's different for a man. I've never been a man, but for a woman it requires, just in case y'all were wondering. But, okay. Back it up, Danny. Back it up. Get behind. But you have to, and then your body just wants to be moved by natural senses. So we have to put those things in order. We have to start focusing on results and not just what's easy. Amen? So we're going to turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And I believe Miss Jessie will have it for you up here on the screen as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I'm so blessed by the word of God. I'm so blessed that when you open the word of God, he speaks to you. And sometimes you'll see from this, I'll tell you this in just a minute, but from this whole passage of scripture, there was... That's five words that stood out to me where he began to download everything that I'm about to say to you. Five words. And so verse 14, glory to God. Helps when you're on the right page, Danny. Now when they came down the mountain to the other nine disciples. So they're coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, right? They had been up there. This is where the Father said, this is my dearly beloved son. So they're coming down. Jesus, in some versions say, his face is still radiant. like they're coming down. Jesus' face is still radiant from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're walking down into this situation. Now, when they came down the mountain to the other nine disciples, they noticed a large crowd of people gathered around them, with the religious scholars arguing with them. The crowd was astonished to see Jesus himself walking toward them, so they immediately ran to welcome him. "What are you arguing about? What are you arguing about with the religious scholars?" he asked them. A man spoke up out of the crowd. "Teacher," he said, "I have a son possessed by a demon that makes him mute. I brought him here to you, Jesus. Whenever the demon takes control of him, it knocks him down and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and his body becomes stiff as a board. I brought him to your disciples hoping they could deliver him, but they were not strong enough." Jesus said to the crowd, "Why are you such a faithless people? How much longer must I remain with you and put up with your unbelief? Now bring the boy to me." So they brought him to Jesus. As soon as the demon saw him, it threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground, rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Jesus turned to the father and asked, "How long has your son been tormented like this?" "Since childhood," he replied. "It tries over and over to kill him by throwing him into the fire or water. But please, if you're able to do something, anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "What do you mean if? If you are able to believe, all things are possible to the believer." When he heard this, the boy's father cried out with tears, saying, "I do believe. Lord, help my little faith." Now, when Jesus saw that the crowd was quickly growing larger, he commanded the demon, saying, "Deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The demon shrieked and threw the boy into terrible seizures and finally came out of him. As the boy lay there looking like a corpse, everyone thought he was dead. But Jesus stooped down gently, took his hand and raised him up to his feet, and he stood there completely set free. Afterwards, when Jesus arrived at the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" He answered them, this scripture behind me is going to say powerful spirit, but I'm going to say this type of unbelief can only be cast out by fasting and prayer. Amen. So if you haven't been reading your word, you're welcome. I just caught you up with all those scriptures. But it's good to get into the word of God. Amen. And so when I read through this passage, the phrase that stood out to me was, "What do you mean if?" What do you mean if? If is a word that provides circumstance as a condition. If is a limiting word that's considered to be conditional. This tiny two-letter word allows for the introduction of circumstance that it might or might not. When it comes to Jesus, circumstantial evidence is irrelevant. If considers circumstantial evidence only and does not focus on Jesus alone. You see, when it's brought in, it's unable to dictate a cold, hard fact that there is no wavering. This is a cold, hard fact that there is no wavering. The word of God is a cold, hard truth, would be the appropriate word, that there is no wavering. This is always the right answer. This is always the truth. I don't care what anyone else is saying. I don't care what anyone else is doing. I don't even care what your experience has been. This is the truth. It says that the young man would be thrown into seizures. The word indicates he would be foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, a rigid body, and rolling on the floor even. You see, if the disciples were to see this and allow this to get into their thoughts, and allow that to overtake the place where they were to deliver the truth of their word, they're allowing the circumstance of what they see with their natural eyes to trump what is happening in the truth of the word of God. It says, in his name, you will cast out demons. Not that you might, not that you could. In his name, you will. It's time that we stop allowing if to dictate our prayers. We stop allowing if to dictate what is going to happen in our lives. It couldn't. No, that's just allowing us to be wishy-washy. Let's just go ahead and take the word of God as truth and call it as truth in our life. Amen. The disciples had the authority. And I believe that when Jesus asked this, what do you mean if, he wasn't just talking to the man. I believe that that was for the crowd to hear. What do you mean if? I am a healer. I am a deliverer. My word is true. What do you mean if? There is no if he can heal you. There is no if he can deliver you. There is no if he can make a way in your financial situation. There is no if you can have a restored relationship. There's no if about it. The word is true. When you look at every situation as it is a life or death matter. That's what happens when you speak out of your mouth. Isn't that what Proverbs tells us? You're speaking life or you're speaking death. If you're allowing if to get in there, you're negating the life part. There is no option A and option B in faith. It's, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe God. Amen? So I heard a story about Heidi Baker. Man, I tell you, I feel real good about some things. And then I listen to Heidi Baker and I'm like, man, Danny, you are a wimp. That woman is, man, she has a grace on her life to experience some things and go through some things that I would love to believe the Lord that if I got put in that circumstance, he would just rear me up and I'd be ready to go. And I'm a risk taker. I mean, I lack some adrenaline rush. I ain't gonna lie about that. But, I mean, she is amazing. She talks about all the time, people are shooting at her stuff, burning down her buildings, and then she just goes and rebuilds it and keeps doing what she's doing. It's pretty amazing. So, she was telling a story though that she went to a tent and she called it a dying tent. And the only people who were allowed in the dying tent was people who were dying. That was the qualifier. If you're dying, you're allowed in the tent. If you're not dying, not allowed in the tent. And so she was like, well, I don't know how we're going to get in there, but I believe the Lord is showing me we're going to go to this place, so we're going to go to this place. And so her and her assistant went to the dying tent. She said she got to the door, and they said, Mama Heidi. And she thought, okay, the Lord is in this place. He's already made a way for me to get in there. And so she goes in to this dying tent. And when she goes in, she said the Lord just ministered to her that her part was to just love on each and every one of these children. There was children from her orphanage that she has there in Mozambique. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I was searching and he just... In Mozambique, that there were pastors from her churches in that place. They were dying in this tent. Remember, the qualifier was, you gotta be dying. So if they're in the tent, it's looking bad. And this doctor walked up to her, and her name was Dr. Joanna. And she said, you are a crazy person. If you're walking in faith, chances are someone's gonna tell you, you are a crazy person. You're a crazy person. Why? Because they're looking with their natural eyes. They don't see what you see. And so then she said to her, now I'm going to not point directly at someone. I love you. But she said, you are a crazy person and you're going to die. Why? Because she walked into the dying tent, and this doctor don't know anything else, and she didn't go in with no, what do they call it, PPO? Protective equipment? PPE? I was close. Thanks, Larry. / Jesse. She didn't go in with none of that. She didn't have no N95 mask on. She didn't have gloves up to her ears on. She just walked in. And she told that doctor, I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. And this people in this tent will live and not die. Can I tell you, she walked through, she hugged every one of those little sick babies. She walked through and she hugged those pastors. She hugged the people she knew. She hugged the people she didn't know. I'm so excited, I can't get my words right. She hugged the people she knew. She hugged the people she didn't know. She invited the ones who didn't know Jesus to know Jesus. Can I tell you, her testimony says that within 3 days, that tent was empty. She said the first day, 30 people walked out of that tent. Why? There was no if in her mind. There was no if it's going to happen or if it's not going to happen. She was steadfast that the word of God was true. Amen. Wow, that's pretty good. That's exactly what was written in my notes. Glory to God. She was steadfast on the word. She was completely in a place where she was not willing to be shaken. I want to go to one more place about this. James chapter 1, verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 6. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you. In verse 6, it says, just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith, without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person, in case anyone needs to know, ambivalent means having mixed feelings or contradictory ideas about something or someone. I looked it up and have the definition wrote down in my Bible. For the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? Now, I want to come back to that sentence in just a minute, but before that, I want to talk to you about the wavering. Jordan and I went on an anniversary trip a few years ago, I think 2-ish, and we went to St. Lucia. And when we went to St. Lucia, they have where you can do these recreational activities where you just go check in and they set you up on these different recreational activities. Well, Jordan and I, neither one of us have ever been sailing, but they have what's called a Hobie Cat, which Jordan, whatever I was calling it, yes, it is. Google it. I Googled it this morning. And a Hobie Cat is a type of a catamaran sailboat. Thank you very much, sir. He's like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Excuse me. I love you, honey. But we were on this sailboat, and apparently we thought we were Moana and could sail the seven seas. Well, there was one hiccup in the sailing adventure. You see, we took this boat out, and so first you have to go ride with an instructor, and he tells you this is how you bring the sail in, this is how you let the sail out, this is how you catch wind, this is how you release wind. Well, when Jordan and I heard the instructions, we both heard the instructions differently. I won't let you know which one of us heard them correctly. But this caused that when we went out on this sailboat, that one of us would say, no, you have to pull it tight to catch wind. And the other would say, no, you have to let it out to catch wind. And then one of us would say, no, you have to pull it tight to catch wind. And then the other one would say, no, you have to let it out to catch wind. And we didn't make very much progress. Because we were unable to make the decision of, are we going to go out? Are we going to go in? Are we going to go out? Are we going to go in? Now, I will tell you that the Lord is so gracious, and at one point we caught a whole lot of wind and went really, really fast. That was something where I was like, man, this is a new experience. I'm not sure how I feel about being out in the middle of here without a motor where I can control how I get back to shore. I mean, it's going to take some serious work for me to swim to shore. So we finally got the boat back to shore. Thank you, Jesus. But that's what it's like when you're telling God, oh yeah, I do believe your instruction is true. Wait, but what about? Oh, I do believe your instruction is true, but what about? It's like me saying, hey, can I have your Bible? Oh, I'm not worthy of your Bible. Can I have your Bible? Oh, I don't know about that color. Oh, can I have your Bible? Oh, I'm not sure if that's the one the Lord has for me. Can I have your Bible? Right? Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Well, are we going to decide what he said we could have? We could have? Or are we going to continue tossing back and forth the idea? Well, maybe I'm worthy to be healed. Maybe I'm not worthy to be healed. Maybe he will do it. Maybe he won't do it. That's allowing that if word to cause circumstantial evidence to get into your life where you then determine that it's something that you did or didn't do that would qualify you for his promise. Can I tell you, there is nothing you did or didn't do besides receive Jesus as your Savior that qualifies you for his promise. Nothing. Your qualification is believing that he was the Savior who died and rose again. That's your qualification. You will never earn your healing with Jesus. He paid for it. You will never earn your prosperity with Jesus. He paid for it. You'll never earn the peace that he paid for. He just gives it to you. You see, your part is grace has extended all these wonderful things to you. He's extended his hand with all these wonderful promises to you. It says in the word, he extended his hand with everything that belongs to life and godliness for you. All you have to do is lift up your hand of faith that says, I believe it. I believe it. There's no qualifying factor to that. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to stop wavering and allowing that if statement into our life. You know, I heard this statement from Pastor Greg Stevens. Thank you. I love people who speak my language without speaking. I heard this statement from Pastor Greg Stevens recently, and it just struck me so deeply. Okay, one, I love Pastor Greg Stevens. If you love to find Easter eggs, I don't know what you would call them, but Easter eggs in the Word. That's what I call them, because when you're talking about movies, specifically Marvel movies, which I've been trained to enjoy, there are things that, to be a good wife, you just enjoy these things, like Texas A&M sports of every kind, and praise the Lord, which I will tell you, we're in the College World Series! Woo-hoo! Okay, praise the Lord. And we won game one. And we're going to win game two. And then we'll be the champions. Okay, praise the Lord. That was just Danny. No, no Holy Ghost in that second part. Okay, but if you are interested, you thought I completely went off track. No, if you are looking for Easter eggs in the Word of God, what do I mean by that? Things that connect to the next part. You see, when they say there's Easter eggs in Marvel movies, it's things in this movie that's going to launch the next thing. Well, there's things in the Word of God that connect together that he is able to determine and to see because he knows the Hebrew language so well. He is the closest thing you can get to being a rabbi when you're not Jewish. He understands it. And so he's able to pull apart the word and see so much good in the word. But this statement has nothing to do with Hebrew. He said this, wavering is a habit. It's a habit. A habit is a behavior that is repeated enough times to be automatic. to 50% of the things that we do every day are controlled by our habits. So that means that potentially, not over you, because I know that y'all are steadfast and stable and never waver, right? You are never letting the sail in and out. But if your parents were indecisive people, you could have inherited that. It is actually something that can be a saw habit that then you reacted to and began to do the same thing. So I'll just tell off on myself. I was telling Amanda, and I think Miss Debbie was here already this morning, that I have this habit, not a good one, of hitting the snooze button. And I set my alarm for a certain time, but I really have no intention of waking up at that time. I mean, if I'm being real with you, I want to wake up at that time. Just when I set the alarm for that time, I really don't have an intention of doing it. I know if I can hit the snooze this many times, still wake up, and still be on time to where I'm going. So much to the fact that the other day snoozes. And I didn't even know that I had snoozed the alarm. And I thought, okay, this is becoming a serious issue. I'm just snoozing out of reach slap, reach slap, reach slap. It's automatic. When I was preparing this message, the Lord said to me, you need to tell the people, stop saying, I'm just leaving my options open. I'm just leaving my options open. We get ourselves into a place where we think we just have to wait. We leave all the options on the table, but we're never willing to decide. There comes a point in your life where you have to just start making a decision to start moving the direction that you feel the leading to go. Maybe I should wear my watch. Glory to God. Stop allowing the indecisive habits control your ability to stand in faith. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So we need to start making decisions. I want to go to Job 22 verse 28 quickly, and we're coming to a, like, at least circling the airport. No? There we go. Oh, yes. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Whew, that second part wants to preach too, but we're going to preach on the first part. You shall decide and decree a thing. You see, when we talked about that story with Jesus over that boy, he didn't wait to decide if the boy could be healed. He didn't wait to see what was going to happen when he declared the word. He had already decided the outcome of what would take place. He didn't decide what the level of sickness was. He didn't decide if it was, like that one translation said, a powerful spirit. He didn't decide any of that. No, he said, the word says, this boy will be delivered, therefore this boy will be delivered. He didn't find out if the boy's condition was too scary. He didn't see if it was too extensive for him to be able to take care of. He didn't see what the circumstance was. He didn't look that there were religious leaders all around who were probably going to be judgy, because that's what religious leaders do. They get all judgy. Why? Because they don't like the power of the word. They want the traditions of men to rule and reign. You see, that was probably even a playing a part when the disciples were there. They were probably so focused on, these religious people are watching me. Who cares who's watching you? Who cares who's present? If the word of God is true, then be confident that the word of God is true. We get so much in a place of, we want to be original, we want to be original, we want to be original, but you're original like the person just next to you. I don't know how many times I've seen fashion trends where we're just original, but every one of you and your friends look exactly alike, so please tell me, how original are you? I mean, just saying. Jesus decided over the boy, deliverance would be his portion. And he decreed over the boy, deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter again. You see, he didn't only speak over the present circumstance. He spoke over the future of that boy too. He said, this is how it's going to be right now, and this is how it's going to be going forward. And you know what the lying circumstance did? It fell down right there on the floor and started having a seizure. Why? Because are you going to believe the word is true or not? What do you mean if? It was right there. Jesus saw him right there, and he said, no, I declared, I decided, I decreed a thing, and it's established, the boy is healed. And he went his way, that boy went his way, completely free, the word says. Completely free. Amen? It's time to make a decision and say what God says about us. You see, when we stand in that place with no regard to circumstantial evidence, when we use the authority that has been given to us to enforce the victory, that's making a decision. It makes the decision we will walk in victory. I'm going to say something that I said to the young people on Wednesday night, so y'all just hear it with fresh ears. But I want to say this first. Your decision could be the missing piece from seeing your faith manifest. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, if you can't tell, I listen to her a lot. Victory is not the devil leaving you alone. Victory is you being untroubled right in the face of circumstance. Have you ever seen a baby eat spaghetti? When my babies were little, they all liked spaghetti. Now we have interesting spaghetti nights where one just has noodles, one just has noodles and sauce, it's crazy. And then some of them eat the whole thing. But when they were babies, they all ate it just like it was. They weren't quite as picky. So I don't know what that's all about. But I specifically have a picture of Addie. I love you, sweet girl. Who's in her high chair and she has a bib on. and there is spaghetti from one side of the high chair to the other side of the high chair. It is down the front of her. It's surrounding her face. I think there's some in her hair. Like, she didn't care who was there. She didn't care who was watching. She didn't care what was happening around her. She's going to eat her some spaghetti. She was just going to sit there and enjoy herself, and she didn't matter what it would look like. My other sweet daughter always tells me that she's going to take men to certain places for their first date to find out if they can handle being married to her, like eating ribs or, I'm like, that's my girl. We like to eat. But Psalms 23:5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, we are to sit there and eat at that table regardless if the enemy is present or not. We eat our fill of everything that he's been made available to us. Not, no. Sit and eat what he's given to you. Sit and be established in what he said about you. Sit and be established in the promises he's gave to you. Amen? Start identifying yourself as a person who sits at the table until you are finished and satisfied with all God has for you. Start identifying yourself as the Father sees you. All right, we've hit the landing strip, folks. Habits are not easily broken when we don't see ourselves in the desired outcome. That's what faith is, right? Faith is hope, the substance coming to your hope. You have to see yourself in the desired outcome. And even people who are in the secular world will tell you this. That you have to see yourself in the desired outcome. We have to stop looking at the what and start looking at the who. If you have things that you need to change in your life, if you're seeing yourself as a, or if you have in the past been wavering on decisions, see yourself as someone who's stable and steadfast in the word, who holds their place, refuses to relent, refuses to move forward. Knowing your identity will help with your decision. Know who you are in him. If you were to, especially people who really know me, but if we were to go to an art museum and I were to see this painting and I were to tell you, this painting is saying something, something, something. And the brush strokes were made just like this. And I began to point out to you imperfections that I saw. And I began to show you things that I saw about it. And I began, Amanda's like almost about to bust out laughing. And I began to show you all of these things, tell you all of these things about the painting. And then the creator came into the room. The one who painted, who was the artist of the painting, and he began to tell you, this was the backstory of why I painted this. This is what this means. This is how this works. This is how this goes. Which one would you believe? The artist. The creator. It's time that we start seeing ourselves through the eyes of our creator and stop allowing others to dictate what it is that should happen in our lives. Why wouldn't it be the same for us that we would look to our Creator for answers? Today is decision day. Today we decide to see ourselves as our Creator sees us. Today we decide to live the life He created for us to have. Today we choose to believe He is who He says He is. And today we choose to live the blessed life He paid for. In the beginning of the year, the Lord really challenged me to create I am statements. And if I tell you the truth, when I wrote down some of the things that he said about me, it was very uncomfortable for me to say out loud. Because I'm not walking in all of those things yet. There's big things that he said that I was still walking out. I was still working in. And I probably wouldn't still say them all publicly. Because it's between me and between God. But you need to find out what he's saying about you. Look in his word. Meditate on his promises. Stop listening to others and start listening to him. I heard a minister say once that they asked him, "Why are you using my name in vain?" And he said, "Lord, I would never do that. You know, I haven't done that in years. Since I've been born again, I've never said that." And he said, "Every time you say, 'I am broke, I am unworthy, I am not enough,' you have placed the name of 'I am that I am' in with something that is untrue, and it is not using my name as it was to be used." So I want us to go out with this final thing. Lift up your Bible. I would lift up to mine, but I need to read with my iPad. So, and decree this after me. This is the word of the living God. He has written it to me. Today I decide and decree. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I walk in the promises that have been paid for according to this word. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a victor and not a victim. I am prosperous. I am now healed. I am full of joy. I am the beloved. I am wise because I have the counsel of Holy Spirit. And I am redeemed. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have written in your word to us and about us. Father, we thank you that you've given us precious promises, that you've called us to walk in all the days of our lives. Father, that we could live in these exceeding great, precious promises in a life that is overflow, abundant and overflowing. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who helps us to remain steadfast and stable on the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. And Father, we thank you for this Word going forth, making life changes in our day-to-day action. Father, I thank you for your Word, and I call these people blessed in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope that encouraged you this morning. When I read those words, it really just lodged something on the inside of me. What do you mean if? So I just would hope that the next time you come up to a circumstance, that you just look that circumstance in the face and you say, "What do you mean if? What do you mean if?" No, my God has already solidified. And it is as he says it is. Amen? Amen. So let's go out of here with a shout. If you would all stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. And everything we put our hands to do prospers. Thank you. Thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In his name, amen.